shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Friar Phil here with you. Welcome to the Friar Phil Show. I'm playing a little bit of Gloria Estefan and Miami Sound Machine at the end of the program because we're going to be playing the deceptively good Florida Marlins. Oops, they're not Florida Marlins anymore, are they? They're the Miami Marlins. And they're going to be here on Thursday, and I tell you what, they're not going to be an easy team to beat. We've got our friend, the Dancing Friar, Corey, on the line with us. How you doing, Corey?
Speaking of dancing, my God, Miami Sound Machine. That was more like, it's going to be Miami Pound Machine, if I'm not mistaken. I tell you. That really got me moving. It's funny, I was just sitting here wiggling around a little bit in the apartment, and the BF just walked in and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Gloria Estefan, girl." So, I'm glad you played that.
You added a little dance moment at the beginning of the program. That's always fun and gets you going.
Feels like Ellen DeGeneres, yeah.
Trying to cheer myself up. We've just, as you know, of course, this is a recorded program, and we're recording it right after the Padres just lost 5-6 against the Cleveland Guardians in 10 innings.
How pissed off that cat sounds? My God, poor Nikki sounds like she's pissed about the Padres.
Oh, she is. She's upset, too. She was more upset about she likes Franmil Reyes. And poor Franmil Reyes by Denelson Lamet got beamed in the ribs. Right in the
side. Franmil knows what he did.
Oh, Franmil wasn't happy. I don't think I'd fuck with Franmil. He's a big guy. I tell you what. Well, yeah, like I was saying, Miami's not going to be a easy team to beat. They've got some pretty good pitching, and we're going to be in trouble if we can't handle that pitching.
Yeah, who are they playing today? Do you know? Oh, they're playing
Arizona Diamondbacks.
That game's
Arizona.
Already over. I think they got smushed by the Snakes, 8-7.
8-7.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see it. 8-7. Well, so long as we smush them on
the very bottom of the West, but still can nip at your heels constantly. That's what they are. They're like a bunch of like Diamondback snakes. You're out there in the brush walking around, and you never know. The babies, they give out the most.
Well, just as long as we smush them on Friday night when I'm there at the stadium.
You better, because it's whacking day, I understand it. There.
Yeah.
Bring your sticks.
if you can smuggle it in.
Like, hey, Phil, what did you think of this? What did you think of this game today? This was it was a doubleheader. We missed a game yesterday. I've been watching so much baseball this week. I was out for the last 10 days with the vid. I couldn't, never got sick, but came down positive with it. And so work put me out for 10 freaking days.
Oh, boy. I know. I've had a cold for like last week. It's been more of an allergy than that. It wasn't COVID. I did a home test for that. Fortunately,
allergies been kicking my ass lately.
But that, it's been terrible. That's why I've got the low voice, the FM DJ voice today, because of the coughing. Some of my vocal cords are strained, so I have to talk like this, like an FM DJ. But
you know what you need? You need some ginger tea. You need someone there at the house making you ginger tea.
There, hear that, Gabriel? Corey just said it, ginger tea. I need somebody here at the house making ginger tea.
Gabe offered it to you. You were like, nah, I'm going to talk to my audience.
He's giving me a thumbs up, so he's going to jump out of the chair and do that now while we're talking. The games today, I liked it.
Well, the day game was pretty cool. I mean, we got to watch Clevenger. God, that is fun to watch. He, like, rocks me to sleep. I watch him, and he's just like, it's like that, it's almost like... a form of like OCD or Asperger's. I counted. I was counting along with him. At some point, I forget who it was. It was not Hedges. It must have been Hedges who kind of put his hand out and stepped out of the box for a second. And Clevenger didn't stop his motion. He just added two more steps. When I watched it, I was like, holy shit, I don't know what this is, but it sure is not distracting as much as it gets you into this sort of rhythm, you know, this sort of click, 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 bam. And then I've been watching all around the league. Tonight, Matt Strom is pitching right now for Boston, and he's been just kicking ass. We've got all these Heschers, man, these long-haired, stringy-haired, rock and roll types. And they're all out in the universe. Today I watched, who did I watch today? Ty France is kicking ass right now. He's another guy that played for us.
Oh, I know. I was talking about that with E.T. Not the E.T. from the movies, but my friend E.T. that comes on the program. And we were talking about that, and it was either with E.T. or with Nick last week, and I was saying it's funny how a lot of these... players that we get rid of and trade and stuff that suck here in San Diego all of a sudden go to another stadium and they're doing good. Like Josh Naylor, as an example, didn't do too good here, but goes to... to Cleveland, and he does great.
Him and Hedges and Fran Meal and who's the other one? Quantrill.
Quantrill, yeah.
Kyle Quantrill. That was... It's interesting now. I don't know if I'm observing more trends or we've got more players, but I'm reading this article today. It's talking about oldest players on each team, 2022. Like, who's got the most, you know, Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers, been playing for them since 2008 or signed with them in 2008. So it's like, there's not a lot of guys who've got, like, past 2014, 2016. I'm thinking, who's the Padres guys? It's got to be Will Myers. Maybe it's Craig Stammen. I'm not sure. Like, it definitely said, like, the Oakland A's, this is how early it was in the season, the Oakland A's oldest player is Sean Manea. And I thought, that's funny. And he's wearing, in the article, he's wearing a Padres cap. So I'm like, all right, some asshole updated the profile pictures on these things. But it's from 2 months ago. So.
That's funny. That's funny. Get your shit together if you're going to put out an article.
Well, it was the only guy that they didn't have a picture for was Will Myers, which I thought was funny because I don't know. You think there's 1,000 pictures of him with that awful hair or whatever he's doing up there?
Oh, I know. Will, get a stylist. Really.
Yeah, get a stylist.
Quickly, it might help with your game. You'll look better. You'll feel better.
Well, he's hurt as of today, right? He didn't play today. He's got a little something on with his thumb, I think it was.
He's blister or strained thumb, okay. Or, I don't know, Hitchhiker's thumb or
Hitchhiker's thumb. No, it's the old Beatles thing. I got blisters on me blisters.
Blisters on me blisters. Bisters. What the hell's a bister? I don't know.
It's like a half of a blister. Without the L.
It's the cold and flu medicine doing it to me today. So.
Really? What are you on?
Oh, NyQuil.
I am mixing and matching a little bit. I have just a little. There's a little cough syrup that I had to just to kind of get the phlegm out. You know, something as an expectorant, so nothing like DM or any of those things. But I did that as well as a shot or two of Irish whiskey. And I got to tell you,
oh my,
it's grandma's my grandma made. You know what I mean?
Irish whiskey. I should have thought of that. We got a liquor store right around the corner, too, so that would have been convenient.
You don't drink booze, do you?
Occasionally. I'm not a big drinker anymore. Of course, when I was young, I was. But yes, lots of things. But these days, not really. I'm not really a teetotaler, but we just don't really drink a lot of alcohol. At home, we get wine occasionally.
It's because you're classy, fact. That's
yeah.
Why.
That's right. We got.
Hey, speaking of youngins, I'm watching. Cal Quantrill, which was our number one draft pick, right? 2016. Am I right?
Yeah,
and
I think
then
so.
Art and what's his name? Macaulay Culkin. What's that guy's name? Who pitched today? McCabe.
Oh.
I'm suddenly drawing a blank. Anyway, he was our 2017 guy. And it was pretty impressive to watch. I have been really stoked about our pitching this season. What are we going to do when Snell comes back? Is somebody going to get moved out to the bullpen so we can call him up occasionally or what?
Well, I think Nick Martinez is going to get moved to the bullpen. I don't think they're going to put Gore there. They'll keep him in the rotation for now because he's got to be on an innings limit. So they'll let him, you know, keep doing his thing as long as he's doing good and go with a six-man rotation for now when Snell comes back. You know, and you never know if Snell's going to get hurt again. You know, after he gets repaired, he tends to get hurt again, kind of like Tatis.
Well, you know, you watch something like Lamet happen. Like, watched him today, and it was so funny to watch people just jump on the negative bandwagon. God, why do I go onto Twitter? It kills me. Because it was just, everybody was down on Lamet. Like, and then Fran Mill gets up, and everybody's like, well, this is going to be fitting. Fran Mill's going to rip it out of the park here. And I was like, all right, everybody, shut the fuck up. Let the thing play out, for God's sake. But it's true. Lamet really, he's in a place right now, when you're watching him pitch, he's in trouble, I think.
He just doesn't look happy. I don't think he's happy being in the bullpen. I think he thinks of himself as a starter. He was always a starter, and now he's
in the bullpen. Well, this is not the way to get in the starting rotation, my dear.
Well, it could be. You know, look at Chris Paddock. He had his own psychological things going on. He'd look at his magic mirror at home and talk to it and ask it, you know, mirror on the wall, am I the best ball player of all? But he took his mare to Minnesota now. So he had some psychological problems, too. Of course, we know Khalil Green from the past. Ooh, that bag of psychiatric mess.
Terrible, isn't it?
So it might be a psychological thing with Lamet, too, because he's not that bad of a pitcher. He was good. In fact, he was one of the people we were looking forward to having back in the rotation this year. But obviously,
you want to pick up Robinson Cano?
No, no, thank you. Sorry, that's a no answer.
It reminds me of the old question, old ball players don't die; they just move to San Diego and play out their career.
Oh yeah.
Remember those days?
Yeah. I remember them very, very well because I've been here now over 20 years. So yeah. I know the lean times we've had in that time period. And I know how San Diego has been treated, you know, in the national press, you know, sports press. You know, San Diego, the bastard son of the Dodgers, you know. The Dodgers are more important, so we'll just mention San Diego if we have to. But when Tatis came, and this is something he did with Manny Machado, both of their personalities shone the light on San Diego, and now it's totally different. I don't feel like we're the bastard son. I feel like we're the annoying stepbrother that's coming to ruin the day of the Dodgers.
Well, that's kind of where you want to be. You don't want to be the guy on top. First of all, we're never going to break into the ancient history between Giants and Dodgers. This goes back to before they were even in California, back when they were in New York. Like, that's an ancient history that goes back from the Polo Fields, the Ebbets Field. Like, it's not something we're going to get in the middle of. And we don't need to be. Like, I've always thought the real rivalry in San Diego ought to be with fucking the Diamondbacks, man. Seriously, like, this zony baloney that goes on, those guys come out here, take over for the summer, they won't turn right on red. You know, it's just all those things that piss you off about people from Arizona. Perpetually tan, except for the Mexican guys, they're completely white. It's amazing to me. Like, Arizona is not, it's the total opposite of kind of like what San Diego is, Mike. You know, just the sort of bitchin' ass attitude towards things. You know, Arizona annoys me. You can tell.
Yeah.
And so when I look at rivalries like that, I don't want to be the team, and we shouldn't want to be the team that is the dominant species in the West. We want to be the pebble in the fucking shoe, right? We want to be that, like, Jesus, got to take his sandal off because, you know, that really hurts sitting in there, that corn on the end of his foot. I want to be, like you said, that annoying stepbrother. I want to be that, like, always foiling the big dogs, right?
Keeping them on their toes.
The scrappiness, man. You gotta be down with the sickness, man. You gotta be down with the sickness.
I agree with you. I think we'd have a better time of it too, having a rivalry with the D-backs. I think they make a big deal out of the San Diego Dodgers games because of the amount of Dodger fans that come out of this city and down from L.A. to the stadium every time we have Dodger games.
It's a holdover from the old Charger-Raiders rivalry.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? It's like this. We're always like, L.A., oh, I hate L.A. It's like, quit talking about L.A., man. Like, shut up. Keep L.A. out of your mouth.
Yeah, it's way up there. It's dirty and nasty and smoggy and shit. Don't talk about that. Talk about something nice.
Be pissed off more at Tijuana. Like, that is our neighbor. Like, that. If you want to have some sort of rivalry between cities, it ought to be this awesome, like, soccer match between Tijuana and San Diego. Like, let the Cholos come up here and play the Loyal, baby.
Yeah, there you go. That should be
fun.
But,
I mean, honestly, like, if you want a rivalry and it's merely out of proximity, fudge that stuff, man. I'd rather be pissed off at. I'd rather be take my vengeance out on the desert people, like those cold-blooded snakes that come into our city, and they drive the prices up all over the place. Those god-awful red license plates that they have, those throwbacks. My God, they're terrible.
Oh, I saw one of those. It's like no, thank you. No. Don't like it. They had a pretty good license plate before that. Now, apologies to anybody if you're from Arizona and you're listening to this.
You know, for me, it's not my show.
Yeah, well, for me, we try not to offend anybody if we can help it. But I offended certain people, but they can go fuck themselves.
Look, you guys had Goldwater. You started the conservative movement. You have Sheriff Arpaio. You know, you've pissed off people who are transporting themselves across the border. You live in a desert, and you suck up all the water from the Colorado River. Most of you people grew up in Michigan anyway.
That's true.
No, but seriously, regarding the Padres' rivalry with this team, I just want to speak to that and say Nick Ahmed and what's the other kid's name out there? God, it's such a rotating cast of characters out there now.
Mm.
But honestly, I think that the rivalry between the Dodgers and the Giants is sacred. Let baby have his baba. Let those two ugly cities up to the north. Let Sodom and Gomorrah slug it out.
Oh yeah, and like you said, it's historically an ancient rivalry between Giants and the Dodgers, and I find that a lot more fascinating than a rivalry between San Diego and Dodgers. What it is, it's a rivalry between San Diego fans and and Los Angeles fans that come to the games. That's what the rivalry is. I don't think it's between the two teams.
Well, there was an ancient fight between two teams that played at Wrigley Field in Los Angeles. The Wrigley Field up there where the Los Angeles Angels and a team called the Hollywood Stars shared the spot. They both shared the spot. And eventually by 1936, Bill Lane got smart and left. Took his Hollywood Stars and came down here to this beautiful city by this gorgeous bay. And this was circa 1936, so it was before World War II happened, but after World War I. And it's still a Navy town, right? And people are playing baseball right down at the foot of Broadway, okay? Right down there, which where Harbor Drive is right there. It's
right.
Navy complex. There's an old stadium there. You've all heard of it before. Right in Lane Field, they played there for a good 10 years, but it rotted so much. By the time World War II was around, they had to get the fuck out of there and move themselves out to Westgate, which is right where Fashion Valley is. So the history of this the rivalry really between Los Angeles and San Diego is real. It's palpable. It's there. Don't think it's not. But in all honesty, the baseball rivalry between this Padre team and those Dodgers and those Giants, I'm not impressed with.
Nah. And I can do without the Dodger fans, too. I purposely don't go to those games. I have no trouble saying why. I don't have the patience or the tolerance to deal with these smart-ass drunk bitches that come down and think they're all hot shit. We're taking over your stadium and all this shit. I just don't have the tolerance for it, so I'd rather sit at home and watch the game from home rather than put myself in a situation where I get aggravated. I don't go to the park to get aggravated. I go to have a good time. Well, in the past, I went to get aggravated because usually I got aggravated. But that's the past. We're in a more hopeful time now with the Padres.
Isn't that true? Have you seen what kind of damage guys like Hosmer are doing? Like, they're having, like, Senkota would not let Hosmer get a hold of the ball today. He walked him three times. I said twice, three times, I think it was. It was like, he's the hottest stick right now, man, and he is seeing everything. And you know who's really seeing everything? And I can't believe how hot he is Machado. I'm not surprised, but I'm watching him hit all zones. If you look at the plate and look where his hot zones were, they're all over the place. Like, he's got no place. He ain't too proud to go down and get a ball that's too low. He's not too slow that he won't turn on a fastball up at his chest and put it out like he did today. I mean, this kid's seeing everything. Like, those things last for only so long, right? Mm-hmm. They only last for so long before, you know, you ride hot streaks. I was listening to Tony Gwynn Jr. talk today. I really loved listening to him talk. He was talking with Scanlon today. I don't think it was Jesse today.
Yeah, Scanlon was there. Jesse will be there tomorrow.
Right. And so as they're talking through the whole thing, he was mentioning that, you know, you ride these streaks, right? You get into a point where you see these these hot streaks happen for these players. He's like, you got to trust in the process. I love this philosophy. It you hear guys talk about it all the time, but until you've done something like an everyday, you're playing baseball every day for money, you don't understand how much the dedication you have to your craft and your belief that you are just in a bad place right now. Keep working through, keep trusting in all the work that you did, is what he said. And then realize that eventually you're going to come out on the other side, and you're not going to have done anything really much different. But for the most part, you're going to have, you have to get through those bad streaks that happen.
Yeah.
Today, when I look at us, we're still 16 wins, 9 losses, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and the Dodgers have 15, and they have a 7 o'clock game tonight. So let's see where things go tonight. Hopefully they'll lose, and we'll be riding a crest as they come home tomorrow.
Well, that would be nice. That would be nice. Coming up on Friday, Petco Park's doing Gay Day. Well, it's actually Gay Night because the game is a nighttime
gays
game.
Gays don't come out during the daytime, girl.
And, you know, I have mixed feelings about it. And in a little bit, I'll tell you about some of the responses I've gotten in the Twitter mailbox about that particular day. But as for my, I don't know what to call it, not really dislike, but the thing that doesn't sit right with me is they have Gay Day, and you come for Gay Day, you have to buy a special ticket to get the special hat, which is white again this year. White! Don't give us goddamn white hats. They get dirty so fucking fast. What are you thinking? But anyhow, they do that. They put you in your special sections, and we're just like herded off into the special section, so we won't bother any of the other normal people that will be at the game. Or that's how I look at it. Maybe I'm being too critical.
You know, you don't have to stay in the special section, right? You can walk around. You don't think of it as that. Think of it as like, this is a place where baseball fans can express themselves. Through not just the game themselves, but you know how they identify, and I think that is when I first started. I moved back. You know, I grew up in San Diego, but moved back here about 2005. And as I come back, I was amazed because they had a Gay Day then. This was back 2005, 2006, and it was picketed. It was fucking being picketed by these very rather Christian. It's the group, the guys from. Reverend Phelps, famously.
Oh, God Hates Fags.
Yeah, God Hates Fags guy, right? Okay. And so they were all over the place, and I was like, and, you know, I was in my little boisterous mood. I thought I was going to be pissy to these guys. And, of course, I'm thinking, like, I could care fucking less about these guys at this point. But it was still prevalent. It was still there. They were hanging out little leaflets and things saying, like, shame on the Padres for allowing this thing to happen. And now I fast forward, and like, there was this, things changed on a dime sometime in like 2008, I don't know, when did Brokeback Mountain come out? When did Ellen DeGeneres come suddenly? When was Will and Grace? There was like this time, like where suddenly gays were no longer, they were no longer found in this establishment. Well, yeah, something flipped. Some switch flipped. And it now I look at it and go, the only reason I don't want to go is I'm usually down doing my thing in right field. I'm not going to go run up there. But every once in a while, I'll go up and do a little shtick up there and get a little laugh, usually get a phone number, blah, blah, blah. No, but seriously, I love the fact that, first of all, so many fags, so many dykes out there that love baseball. Second of all, it's fun to see when we're all together. We're a hoot.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And that's the positive part of it that I can acknowledge. I'm not sitting in the special cordoned-off sections I'm sitting next to you, as a matter of fact, Friday night.
Oh, very nice.
So we'll have the right
field. You told me what night is it, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
What night is it? Thursday? No.
Friday night.
Mm. See that? We used to be relegated to Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm. Making it to Fridays, yeah, so that's good. But ooh, that's good. Unfortunately, you know, from some people that don't know me apparently that well on Twitter, I've gotten some messages saying, you know, boy, can you
tone down the homophobia?
Yeah, you know, they're having fag day at the park, you know. And this came after the Padres had put up the little advertisement a couple of days ago on their Twitter for it. And I'm like, you know, should I respond back to these people or just let them sit there in their ignorance? And I let them sit there, you know, let them think what they want to think and what they want to say, but don't come to me.
You're soaking in it.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And hey, really, Dad, we wouldn't really need a gay day at the park if gay folk could be treated in this country just like straight people are. For instance, the kiss cam. You never see the cameras get on a lesbian couple kissing or a gay male couple kissing. You know, they won't put that on the big fucking screen, will they?
No, they had bear cam there. It was like bear cam.
Bear cam, well, yeah.
Only bears kissing.
Bear cam, that's funny. But
hot
serious,
otter.
Well, yeah,
hot otter cam.
Hot otter cam. But seriously, you know, you just don't see that. So if, you know, we were allowed to be in a mainstream world without religion, like John Lennon said, we'd be much better off. And you can use baseball as an example of that, and going to a baseball game. When people go to a baseball game, usually they don't identify this. You know, they're not white, black, brown, Mexican, the Chinese, you know, gay, straight, bi, questioning. You know, it doesn't matter. We're all there as baseball fans, and everybody gets along together. Everybody has fun together, and everybody—I'm not going to say they wang jung, but they just have a good time because nobody's sticking their nose into other people's business. You know, it's none of your goddamn business if you're a homophobe to get into somebody else's business. It's not. But a lot of us won't speak up to these people either. The Fred Phelps and the God Hates Fags people. I took on his daughter one day. Actually made it on TV too. Was at a protest sometime around... Oh, it was when I was doing the political stuff. The liberal talk radio. Before 2010, but they were protesting college students at City College, and I just had enough of her and her signs and standing there having little children hold these signs, you know, with all this hate and stuff, and I just went over and I tell you what, if there wasn't a cop there, I would have slapped the fuck out of her.
See, here's the thing. You can't get riled and do anything that's foolish like that. Yeah. Although you feel compelled to do so. We get ourselves into a frenzy so much in this country that we're choosing sides. And I think, for me, it was like at a time when we were trying to expand our rights. We were trying not to be, you know, beaten back. We had gone through health crisis after health crisis and people dying. Like, there was a sincere move. There was a sincere political reason why there was this envelope was being pushed,
right,
for gay and lesbian folks, right? And even that, you know, even when I look at that, like, we've expanded it now. Although we've always been part of the same community, now the inclusion has gotten to the point where we're adding so many letters to the alphabet.
Right.
And I'm from an old. I'm that kind of gay. I'm like, I'm the old gay who remembers the old days.
Back in the old days, when
no
we
one
used
of these
to
new gays with a high thread count kind of homosexual.
That's right. We just didn't have an Uber or a Lyft to take us places. Well, that's right. We had to hoof it 20 miles to the bar.
Hold
every
on
night.
To the tree kind of gay sex. Hold on for dear life.
It's back when we used Crisco. You have to be gay to understand the Crisco comment.
I was just watching a Terrence McNally play, but it's a movie. It's called The Ritz. If you ever get a chance to see it, it's ridiculous. It's 1976, and it's based on the play that was done. But it was also sort of like British farce. You ever seen that one? Like one door opens, another door closes. This door opens, that one closes. So it's this kind of shtick going on throughout the entire thing, and it's in a bathhouse in Manhattan, right? It's called The Ritz. And the gag is this, that this guy goes in, he's just a vacuum salesman, right, guy, and he's back home for a funeral, and it turns out that his brother-in-law is a gangster, and he's going to have him killed. It's like one of these ridiculous scenarios. And suddenly, so he's got to hide in the bathhouse, so that he doesn't get seen by anybody, and lo and behold, all the shtickery and all these things end up happening, and there's a chubby taser that shows up, and there's this, there's that, and I'm watching this thing going like, this is so fucking ridiculous. I remember when this was so funny to me, sometime in the 90s, I was like, I can't believe they did it. Now, fast forward, it's 2022, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, I could never show this to my boyfriend. He was like, he's not from the era where, like, this would be funny or tolerated. Like, literally, it's that sticky and that bad, and there's so much garbage goop in the whole thing. I guess the point is that in our lifetime, Phil, we have gone from being, you know, outcast, marginalized individuals, even in our lifetime on the DSL, you know, when you look at the DMC, the designation of psychological illnesses, here we are. At a certain point, 1972, 1974, it suddenly gets removed. Like, this thing that we are was a disorder.
Right.
And here we are, fast forward a good 50 years into the future, and we're looking at it in terms of, like, there's a political prowess to gays in both parties in the United States. Like, I'm waiting for the first baseball player to come out. I'm waiting for the first, you know, professional sports guy to come out. Like, there's still this excitement around, almost like, you know, Jackie Robinson being allowed in major leagues, hoping that one of us might be represented up there. Like, that's a lot. That's a vast, vast difference in the distance that we've traveled in our lifetime.
Yeah,
and the acceptance that we've got from American folks, from people in our state. You know, you grew up back east, right?
Yeah.
You moved out here. You've been here for 20 years. Like, California's always been pretty like, it's the land of fruits and nuts. That's just how we are.
Pretty much. Pretty much. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. We have come a long way. You know, there are people that are probably turning this program off now because we made like a right angle turn. Well, I did, from talking about the Padres and what's happening with them to this gay day that we're having on Friday. But I think it's important to talk about.
It's important. It's important.
Because it's, you know, the reality is a lot, like you've said earlier, a lot of gay and lesbian and bi and et cetera, people come to the games on a regular basis as well. You know, especially lesbians, they're easier to identify, I guess, because they're wearing plaid. Sorry. I just had to say that. Sorry, lesbians, if you're listening.
I have a very good transgender friend, actually several of them, who are avid baseball fans. And, like, I always look at it like, oh, yeah, I forgot that we've got this thing that we can talk about, which is, like, baseball. Like, that's a cool thing about being American, right?
Well, yeah.
But you can have this long-term obsession was a pastime. It's not a sport. It's a pastime that goes back to post-World War, or post-Civil War. The thing that brought us together. There was a great comment I heard Ken Burns saying. He said, somebody said, well, what came after the Civil War? And he said, baseball. And he said, well, I mean, not politically, I mean, in my career as a documentarian. He was talking about his movies. Like, but it's true. There's something about the Civil War and that sort of culmination of anger towards each other and baseball for the last 150, 100 and some odd years. Since that time has been the thing that's brought us together across those divides. That's so important.
And that's what I was saying earlier. You know, you go to a baseball game and you have people that don't identify as anything except either Padres fans or fans of the other team that's playing, you know, boo. But that's how it is, and everybody gets along for the most part, unless, you know, you're with Dodger fans and they're getting drunk and they're arguing or stabbing each other.
Yeah, that, you know, people, from time to time, people get shivved.
Yes, occasionally.
I'm sorry, shanked. You get shanked with a shiv.
Shanked with a shiv, that's right.
Yeah, that's the one is the verb, the other is the...
Yeah, shanked. Shank, yeah, that's right.
Shanks, you're welcome.
Anybody who likes to write in and correct us, go ahead. So, yeah, we've got it fairly good now, I think, you know, politically in this country because of...
Can we rest now?
Things. We can't rest.
Can we be like regular people now? I was just thinking that the other day. I was like, oh, God, I feel almost like a regular person. And my partner said, what do you mean you feel like a regular? What is that supposed to mean? I was like, oh, I just mean like now we can worry about all these other fucking things to worry about, retirement and like, you know, like war, famine, disease, pestilence, and, if I may, baseball.
Yes.
Oh, hello.
I've loved baseball since I was a kid.
Hot man just walked into my place. He just got back from work.
Oh my goodness.
Wearing his suit and tie.
Baseball has been with me for a long time, and you know that cracks the stereotype of us too. You know. Well, the one that says that we should be florists or interior decorators or shit like that,
I do love fresh cut flowers.
Well, yeah, I do too.
See?
But that's why they've got 1-800-Flowers. Free plug for you people, so send me something.
I'll plug two if we're going to do florist. Floral Fantasia out of Pacific Beach. Marjana Warner does great work. And if we're plugging something else, the Coronado Flower Lady is amazing, too. So there you go. Florists.
Gay people plugging something, huh? You've got to have a sense of humor with this stuff. I've learned that over the years. You know, I used to be more rigid. You know, things would piss me off a little bit more, but I've got more of a sense of humor now when it comes to idiots. I still don't have a real good tolerance for stupid people or dumb people or willfully ignorant people, but I've gotten better over the years. And I think this is going to be fun Friday night. What's this? Apparently I lost you because the phone just rang. Let's see. All right, I see the problem. Okay, I think I've got Corey back. You there, Corey?
I don't hear the cat meowing. That scares me.
No. Your volume's a little low.
Possible that you're there and you can hear me, but you cannot see me.
Go figure that.
That's the case. I'm going to keep talking until I get some sort of signal from your end to stop talking. In which case, I cannot hear you.
But you can hear me now, though, right?
I feel like you're on a speakerphone.
On a speakerphone?
No, try. Oh. probably muting myself.
He's going to mute himself. Corey's going to mute himself. Well, isn't that interesting? I don't know what the fuck's going on.
You do a video blog.
You okay. May be a sex symbol, but Tom Cruise, come on, for sure.
We were just talking off the air about what's going on around Corey's house. There's apparently a pro... get rid of Roe versus Wade protest going on, and there's a
No. I don't mean to say that. Yes, there is a premiere of Top Gun 2 with Tom Cruise, but he's getting into a clash out in front of my window here with a lot of pro-choice-lifers.
Oh, pro-choice people.
Tell. There's a lot of chicks down here, let's just say, and Tom is not at all interested.
Of course he isn't. He's a man, you know. Men think, or certain men, especially old bastards in the Congress and in the Supreme Court, think they've got the right to tell a woman what she can do with her body. But nobody's regulating us. Nobody regulates us and says, yeah, you can't masturbate.
Well,
you know.
Why not?
Because it's the law of the land now. Just like you can't, if you're raped by somebody, now you'll have to carry that child and give birth to that child and have a memory of that rape with you for 9 fucking months. What's wrong with these sick ass people in this country? I tell you what, but we're veering off. Let me not veer off into politics and all that. We're supposed to be talking
about. What's this got to do with baseball?
Baseball. And stuff, but that really irks me. And it's the old liberal talk radio person coming out now talking about these.
Well, I tell you what, though, I was just saying, like, if you want to get down to it, like, this Padre, there was a doubleheader today, and this would have been the second game. If Roe versus Wade was somehow not the law of the land, this would have been illegal, this game, because it was highly abortive.
Indeed. Especially the last one.
Well, the first game was nice. Oh, it came to full term. It was a child. Oh, my God. It came out breach, but it was our game.
Yes, it was ours. It was fantastic. And I still feel bad for Fran Mill Reyes. I had the pleasure of meeting him. At one point, when he was still here, when he first come over from the Chihuahuas, and just a nice, nice guy. And if there's anybody you don't want to see you plunked in the ribs, it's a guy like that. So I hope he's okay.
First of all, I feel bad for the ball.
Yeah.
Did you see how he bruised? Now, like, just him getting in the way of that poor ball as it was trying to just freely find its way to the backstop, he got in the way of it. Like, it was really on him. Like, he could have moved, but no, he's just so big and such a big target. Like, he couldn't move his ass out of the way. Like, the ball was just simply trying to get from one point, from point A to point B. It didn't need him to get in the way of the whole thing, but he did. He did.
Shit happens, you know. just like in the middle of your podcast that you're recording, the phone goes off. What happened, folks? Apologies for the ringing in your ears and the garbled
probably blasphemy
bitching while I was trying to fix this. I thought there was a full charge in this particular phone. Apparently there wasn't, so there was no more battery, so I've had to plug it in and it's going, but we're functioning now.
I blame the cat, Nikki.
Well, no, we can't, because actually she's being a good girl today. She's had her supper. She went back in her room. She's having her nap. She's letting Daddy do the podcast. So she's being a really, really good girl. And if you are new to the program or you didn't hear the last two, Nikki is our cat. She's a 13-and-a-half-year-old black and white tuxedo kitty. So that's who we're talking about. We're not losing our mind, or we're not talking about an actual human.
Is she fixed?
Yes.
Well, you know why? Because she's wearing a tuxedo.
Well, that's
why. She's going to look impotent. She's going to be impotent.
That's right. And it's much better for them. They live longer once they get
fixed. Well, you don't want to be walking around with that thing. Like, I keep thinking of that scene from South Park. You know,
oh, God. You know, there's a certain point in programs where you know you're flowing along real good, and then there's a certain point where you know you've just kind of lost it. I think we lost it. Oh, my.
That'll happen.
But anyhow, I'm going to be there if people want to stop by and say hello in the Right Field Mission on Friday night.
Please do. You're all invited, by the way. Anybody who can hear this broadcast knows that the Right Field Mission is the place that you need to be. At least come down, and it's almost like a pilgrimage. Almost like going down to Lourdes when Fatima. You're like, there's a reason to come to the Right Field Mission. And for most people, it's like just to give homage and blessing to the old cats that are there. But in essence, you've got to come down just because that's the loudest place in the stadium. And what's more important, home runs get hit up there. Just above the Templeton Rye, beautiful deck right there that used to be the Jack deck, that used to be the T-Mobile deck or whatever they were calling it back then. Like, that's the place to be. So my section 133, as Friar Phil is so eloquently explaining, the Right Field Mission is the place that you should come to visit. Because it is the geographical location of the entourage that is the happy haunt of Petco. Like, if you wanted to find one place that was the spirit of Petco, it would be there. Why? Home runs come up there, and more importantly, Luigi will be sighted up there. It's like catching a leprechaun on your tongue. Like, one thing that I learned about Right Field Mission event when Ishmael, who is the K-dude, and Luigi, who is the amazing man that haunts that place up there, Luigi taught me that the spot that's just over the pitcher's mound where the camera well is for all of the live broadcasts that go on out there that Bally Sports San Diego does, that used to be Fox, that used to be Cox, all of them, Channel 4, those things all used to broadcast in that spot right where Luigi would stand. So the reason I'm calling attention to that, I'm like, if you want to be seen at a baseball game, like, the one place you could be is the Right Field Mission. If you don't want to be seen, your parole officer, let's say, might be angry that you're out in public with other felons, I would say this: don't come up to the Right Field Mission. So if you're a felon, Dodger fan, if you're in that area, you're going to be on camera. You're going to have to explain it to the judge. If you don't mind, if you're a good person in nature, you're a Padres fan, and you've not had to call King Stallman Bell Bonds, the Right Field Mission is the place where you might feel at home. Well, that's section 133, just in the area where you can walk around and feel free.
It's the truth. It really is the truth. It is really a fun section down there. If you haven't experienced it and you sit in other locations in the park, come hang out.
Yeah, you're encouraged to be a little rowdy. Don't be disruptive. Well, if you are disruptive, come sit by me. There's an old saying. If you don't have anything nice to say about Dodgers, come sit by me.
Right. Last year, we were talking about noisemakers and your cowbell. Oh. And
oh, my heart. I have to use my poor voice.
You were going
to
say something to the Padres about that. Do you ever say anything to them about noisemakers?
I try not to talk to them. I will leave you with this. I do have many of the San Diego Padres staying at the establishment in which I work, and I can't say what that place is. But I can tell you this. It's enough for me to have met players like Nick Martinez that came out there the other day. He's literally, like, there's players that live out there on that island that's just on the other side of where Petco is. If you look out there, there's a little island. It's not North Island. It's between there and the Silver Strand. There's a little island right there. Anyway, so those guys hang out there. There's like seven or eight of the players that live on the island. There's a few of them that frequent the place where I haunt myself. But for the most part, I love the fact that this is now a sort of the island itself is a hangout for San Diego Padres.
Yeah, cool. And it's a good bunch we've got this year too. I like all the players.
Hey, it's the first time we've had a team that can afford to live on the island.
Yeah, that's true too.
Okay.
Better salaries for these guys. Although, I don't think you need $340 million to play baseball for 14 years, but that's just another program.
So says you.
Another time.
Your team would have on the side of its jacket Chico's bail bonds, if I were correct.
Yes.
Like, come on.
Chico's bail bonds.
Chico's bail bonds.
I just think of the salaries when I look at, like, Hodad's, and I look at the prices on the board up there, and I compare it to the prices at the Hodad's that's downtown or elsewhere that's not at Petco Park, and it just drives me insane how everything can be doubled up and you can be price gouged like that at sporting events.
Well, you gotta pay them for the pleasure. It's funny is that those are all loss leaders. So those guys that actually have something in the park, like as a flagship, it's only for advertisement for like a year or two. You wonder, like, why did Hodad's leave? Or why is this no longer there? Why is that? Like, because they can only afford to take a loss for 1 year, a local establishment. They don't make a lot of money. Most of that stuff is all brought in. The products and things are brought in by Delaware North. And for the most part, they don't get to hire their own people. I thought that was funny. Like, I noted, I was like, you mean Hodad's that's there doesn't get to hire their own people? They're like,
no. Nope.
I mean, if they have, no. You know, you get any schmo off the street there, you should be able to have the right to be able to hire your people in there.
Some of the people that work in these concession stands, well, no, I won't say it because it'll piss off somebody and I'll get letters or things saying, how dare you say that? That's,
oh,
that's mean that you're talking about people calling them stupid. No, shit like that.
You
I didn't feel like that.
Just pretend it's like you and me talking. Like, what do you mean? Go ahead. Come on.
Just some of them are bright as a small appliance bulb. You know, you tell them I want a large soda, the big soda, and they show me the smaller cup. This one? No, the large one.
Oh, well, you know, that's just working people sometimes. Sometimes you're not so clear, I've noticed.
Oh, yeah. I guess I didn't say large loud enough. You know, I want a large...
For example, I went into a Starbucks the other day, and they're like, what size do you want? I was like, I don't know, just the tall one. I'm like looking at this guy with big fancy. I'm like, just the tall one. And the lady comes out with the smallest cup possible. I was like, was I not clear enough? Did I not just say the tall one? She's like, yeah, these are our tall ones. I was like, okay, hold on. First of all,
that's like calling Luigi a tall one.
Oh.
Those tall glasses there are just not tall. They need another shorty or something, you know. Call it a different name.
The shoddy. Yeah, that's just for girls. It's just shoddy.
She'll take a shorty.
Shoddy.
So anyhow,
all right.
Reminder, Gay Day is going to be May 6th. If you're hearing this before May 6th, come on out and have a good time at the park watching the Padres play the Miami Marlins. And
you saying Seis de Mayo?
Yes, Seis de Mayo, not Cinco de Mayo, but Seis de Mayo. Cinco's tomorrow, matter of fact. And we start our series with the Miami Dodgers, the Miami Marlins. All these facts in my head just swim around, and sometimes I get mixed up.
First of all, it's a fish fry tomorrow. You should know that about this. Like, tomorrow is what, Thursday, right?
Right.
So we get then Friday's the fish fry against tomorrow.
Right.
Is this a four-game series?
Yes, this is a four-game series, and then...
Oh, shit.
What do we do afterwards? The Cubs, I think, are coming after the Marlins, so that should be an interesting series, too.
Yeah, I hope it's not like the Revenant, you know, that terrible bear rape scene that happens at the very end, Like, we don't want that to happen.
No, no. Just a nice, friendly game. Friendly confines of Petco Park. All right.
You know what? I'll see you very soon, and we will continue this discussion.
Yeah, we'll continue throughout the season, having you come on periodically. We're going to play a little bit of Miami Sound Machine now. And I picked this one out for you, since you're the Dancing Friar. It's a song called Do You Want to Dance? We'll see you next time. Everybody take care, watch your backs, and keep your eyes and your mind open, okay?
Dance.